in a greedy little world that teaches every little boy and girl to earn as much as they can possibly, then turn around and spend it foolishly. We created us a credit card mess. We spend the money that we don't possess. Our religion is to grow and blow it all. So we're shopping every Sunday at the mall. All we ever want is more. A lot more than we had before. So take me to the nearest store. Can you hear it ring? It makes you wanna sing. It's such a beautiful thing. Cause yeah, lots of diamond rings. The happiness it brings. You live like a
good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is Cash Flow. It's Tuesday.
Hello, everybody.
Hey, we're having a little dipsy doodle program here. I don't know. Carrie says it's not me. My engineer hasn't looked at it yet, but we have what, me? It's me. And Mr. Engineer, how is this me? Oh, so you move the phones, and you hit something on the back of the board. Oh, you move the board down. Well, just don't come in here and move my microphone away from my face. Hey, how you doing, James?
great. I guess Bob Nevert has changed his schedule, and he's actually on the line today.
Oh,
so I think he's going to peer in today, which is going to be interesting after yesterday's change of entire media structure with the Democratic Party, thanks to Spitzer, is going to be interesting.
Oh, now come on, let's not be too hard on Elliot. After all, he was going after $5,000 hookers, not the common variety street corner walking $100.
But the irony of all of it, John, yesterday, because I was talking to some press people about it, is he charged it on his card, his credit card. The American Express, don't leave home without it. There you go, the irony of it all. He didn't have to use a credit card, but he decided, why not? Let's document it, let's print it, let's leave it in the internet, let's leave all the evidence everywhere. So the irony, I'm sure American Express is like, turning over into, well, this is not what we planned.
Oh, gosh. It would have been better if Visa would have had that on their card, because I'm sure they could have made a better commercial out of it.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And again, folks, I've been talking a lot in the last couple of days here about the arrogance of our foes. They don't even give a damn to even try to, lace it up and knot the top knot and, make it look at least legitimate. And this is, folks, I'm not saying that Elliot Spitzer is the end-all, be-all, he's the Antichrist or anything, but I'm just saying, in America today, it's not right or wrong, it's what you can get away with. And
precisely.
And sometimes you get caught. Well, if you get caught, well, then you have your bar members to try to help you get out of it. There's a reason why there's most of the lawyers, 75-80% of all practicing lawyers on planet Earth are right here in the good old US of A.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. So we've got the populace out there thinking that their security and safety and freedom comes in how much money that they can put up around them as a buffer zone. And then the global elite rich, and, of course, the ladder that descends down to that bottom rung, these are the people that are being tapped and anointed to say that, well, come along with us. Here's the new grand plan. And, by the way, you don't even have to be careful anymore. You can be just arrogant, but, kind of keep it down just a little bit. And
yeah, exactly.
And this is what we're faced with in this country. I mean, take a look at America today through the eyes, and Bob's going to love this one, through the old school eyes.
Mm-hmm.
And there's still some of us around, and that doesn't necessarily mean that you were, of age to fight in World War II to be old school. No, there was a generation or two that came after that by the teachings of their parents. Remember, all kids are adults in training, that are still looking at the world through old school. We'll be back, Bob Nevert, right after this.
Thank you.
The Berkey Light's unique design combines the age-old process of microporous filtration coupled with modern state-of-the-art technology and the highest quality materials, bringing you the finest water filter available anywhere. The revolutionary Berkey Light, with its exclusive black Berkey filter elements, remove pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels. Harmful or unwanted chemicals are reduced to below detectable levels. And it reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury while leaving the nutritional minerals your body needs. Made of durable Lexan, the material used in making bulletproof glass, the system is durable, rugged, and yet attractive. The Berkey Light is transparent, so there is no guesswork when refilling the system. The water level is always visible. The rechargeable LED lighting system is beautiful as a nightlight and as necessary in emergency situations. Get the Berkey Light, the transparent water filter, for only $259.
Call today, 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200.
Are you new to freeze-dried foods? These fine, easily storable foods were first developed for the U.S. space program. Today, the U.S. military and the U.S. submarine service enjoy using these products extensively. Freeze-dried foods typically maintain their high nutritional value in excess of 30 years. Why store emergency food? Keeping food on hand for emergencies protects you the same way as does insurance on your home or car. With Freeze Dry Guy freeze-dried foods in your food reserve, you can be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. In today's turbulent times of uncertainty, global crisis, world market collapse, stock market volatility, increased frequency of natural and man-made disasters, there has never been a better time to get a survival insurance policy. Take the necessary steps to protect your family in these uncertain times. Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD, 866-404-3663. We pay the freight within the lower 48 states.
Reports are coming in from all over North America about wild MPG.
My 97 Honda Civic went from just over 31 miles per gallon to over 50 miles per gallon.
My 98 Plymouth Breeze went from just over 38 miles per gallon to over 77 miles per gallon.
My 95 Ford F-150 went from 12.7 miles per gallon to 33 miles per gallon.
It's not a hybrid.
It's not an electric.
Wild MPG is an inexpensive modification that gives you incredible savings, a cleaner engine, better performance, more horsepower, less dependence on foreign oil, and better gas mileage.
Far better gas mileage.
Find out more at wildmpg.com.
Wild MPG means more money in your pocket.
The Wild MPG kit is absolutely guaranteed to increase your gas mileage by at least 50%, or the cost of the kit will be refunded to you. Visit wildmpg.com.
WildMPG.com.
Welcome to the revolution in fuel economy technology. WildMPG.com.
We're back.
Yes, we are.
Hopefully, my engineer's not going to unplug me. Uh-oh. He's got the probes out. Uh-oh. He's looking real dangerous. He's got that look in his eye. Bob Neverett.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. It's good to be back.
Good afternoon.
You heard me in reference to old school.
Yes, I remember that term. Before I address that issue you prompted me on, remember last week I explained the weird notion of dot communism? Do you remember that?
Dot communism. Yes, right. Yes.
That the reason Schwarzenegger is bringing in communism as an ideology in the schools is that the kids that he's supposedly training and educating grew up in the dot-com world in the 90s and into this decade. And I said the dot represents the autonomy, the individual person's ability to edit, like on MySpace, their own net design, net profile. At the same time, they're within the chip body landscape, which is a group mind, so that's the communistic effect. Now, I started reading a book this week, and I was lucky. It's called Imaginary Futures by a British professor named Richard Barbrook. And it turns out that cybernetic communism is a term invented by the Russians, back then the Soviets, in the late 50s and early 60s. And by the early 60s, I'll read from this, a CIA analyst named John F. Ford. He was a keynote speaker in 1964 at the Daniel Bell Commission that was set up by the American Cybernetic Society and was trying to figure out how to take advantage of the new computer environment. And Ford said the Russians were already moving ahead and that they developed what was called cybernetic communism. So actually, cybernetism was adapted from the Russian model. Now, isn't that interesting?
Wow. Very.
Well, and
But, John, would that be the Khazars? Would that be a Khazar influence? Because a lot of the intellectuals in the Daniel Bell Commission were Trotskyists from the 30s. People brought over who reformed and became what was known as the Cold War left.
Yeah, and Bob, we've never gone down this path before, and you working, and I don't want to give away what you do and who you work for, but let me just say this, that you have an opportunity to see some of the mechanizations from the inside out.
Yes.
And if you would, let this listening audience know the depth of your knowledge and the agenda and the ongoing program for globalization, if you would.
Well, I was not born into the, quote, Illuminati, the Khazarian Illuminati. I'm saying that there is a historical power structure. It's not necessarily racially linked with the Khazar dynasty, but let's use that term since you emphasize it through your mentor, Jack. Or is it Jack?
Jack Otto.
Otto, yeah, mm-hmm. Jack Otto. You play his tape. So that's interesting. There's an audience. That there's a meme that's been around for a long time, that idea. But when I communicated with intelligence agencies in the interval, because remember, the key concept I'm teaching is tactility or the tactile. Where I worked and the Illuminati work is in the gap, in the interval between intelligence and between the corporate. We hyphenate it and call it the military-industrial complex or the military-entertainment-industrial complex, but it's the hyphen, which means the gap, rather than actually being military-industrial or entertainment complex. It's understanding what the gap is. So when intelligence was organized on the Illuminati level after World War II, the factions that were brought in were the Jesuits, the Nazis, the Bolsheviks, the Freemasons, and the Mossad.
Oh, all the good people.
Yes, the people got us the victory of World War II.
Mm-hmm.
It caused the war that allowed us to create the battle that allowed us to win and claim we were in a new global village by 1950. Now, these factions were historical. The Freemasons come out of the printing press 400 years ago in the Anglican Church. Before them was the Jesuits. We're actually representing the Catholic Empire of the medieval period, which was a manuscript form of communication and technology. So the Jesuits were a reaction to the new technology of the printing press, which formed around Britain, and that was the Freemasons, right? So we have the Freemasons, the Jesuits. Then when you bring in the telegraph, which starts to create a more intense global village electrically, the emotion of multitude that surfaced from that was known as the Marxists, the communists, and the socialists in the 19th century, and the workers of the world united. So an intelligent nest egg came out of that, called the Bolsheviks in the Soviet Union. So there you have that development from the telegraph. Then radio came in. What, from the decentralized and effective radio, what surfaced from that? The Nazis. And the Nazis supposedly lost World War II. On the people level they did, but they had a huge nest egg and they invested in lots of corporations around the world and they were still a factor.
Well, and all you had to do is look at the Versailles Treaty when it was done.
1919, yeah.
Yeah, and right. And then look at the end of well, actually, both of the Warburgs were representing both sides of the table.
Yes.
At Versailles, you had Paul Warburg on one side, and I forget the name of the other Warburg, but anyhow, one was representing
Otto.
Thank you very much. It was Otto on the other side, so you had the representation of the European-style bankers or the ones connected with England, and then you had the brother that was connected in Germany. And these were the people. Folks, if you have any doubt that these world wars were created for profit, just look at who was sitting at the treaty table.
Right.
Right. As a matter of fact, I'm talking to you just down the street on 91st Street here in Manhattan where where the Warburg Mansion is.
Well, blow a kiss when you drive by for me, will you?
Yeah, I do it three times a day.
I bet you do.
but back to, so what you have at that council in 1919 are the Freemason representatives, the Jesuit representatives, and the beginning of the Bolshevik lockdown. But what disturbed that harmony in the League of Nations was radio. It caused a new intensification a more participatory effect for people. Everybody was sharing the information environment, and that led to decentralization, which allowed the Nazis, who were first funded to go against the Bolsheviks by the Freemasons and the Jesuits, but then within their own inflated sense of success, turned on everybody. And so that caused the chaos of World War II. So you have those four factions.
Okay, let me stop you here, Bob, because what was presented out of that, and I'm a big fan of George Patton. You know, George did his business over there, and I don't know if the guy was aware of what was going on, but he knew one thing, that he wanted to roll into Russia to go after Uncle Joe over there, because he didn't see the benefit of destroying the Nazi regime, or at least the furniture and the mortar and the bricks, versus allowing the communists to come in. And this was the start of worldwide communism, and he never got to complete his task or press for the agenda of going after Russia. So here's what we were left with after World War II. Okay, ding dong, the witch is dead. Hitler's gone, but now we have Uncle Joe and his Stalinist Russia, and then we have communism. That was our choice. This is who we buddied up with, supposedly, to beat the fascists.
Right, and then the fascist nest egg, the wealth they'd stolen during World War II, was there as a factor. So there's a problem in the committee between the Jesuits, Freemasons, the Bolsheviks, and now the new Nazis. And so the Nazis aligned with the Jesuits and the Freemasons against the Bolsheviks. But what Patton didn't understand is that he was representing a committee, not the United States. If you realize the United States disappeared in the 20s and 30s, then those patriotic generals had a limited vision. And everybody had limited vision because these guys came out of the middle class or the working class, right?
Right.
And they weren't aware of what intelligence agencies had created over the 100 years before. So McCarthy had the same problem. Douglas MacArthur. They ran into international pre-agreements that their agenda in Japan or in the Soviet Union wasn't allowed to happen. But what complicated this was the effect of television. That created a whole different mood, and what intelligence agency comes out of that? The Mossad. The Mossad, remember, the television is a communistic effect in terms of everybody sharing software. You got a bit of that with the radio, but you got it even more with television.
Unification of experience you're referring to?
Yeah, the unification experience, what I call the cloning of ESP. I mean, everybody's picking up the same information instantly, the same time, everywhere in the industrialized world. Now,
And let me stop you here, Bob, because then the real problem comes in. You know, it'd be one thing to have a network, say a television network or a cable network or satellite network operating inside this country, pumping out their brand of propaganda. But I hope people are noticing that on the core important issues which furthers their globalization project, they are all in harmony.
That's right, because the medium determined the globalization project 100 years ago. International business, which was the Robert Barons, had huge dollars, and the Rothschilds before them, they had to move out of their local neighborhoods, which were known as countries or Europe, and they moved around the world because technology shrunk the planet. But what's interesting about when a new medium like television comes in, it evokes a resonance with an image. And what is the image coming out of the Middle East? It's a kibbutz idea, a communistic socialist experiment of growing a garden in the desert. And you can see the charisma of the Israeli project in the 50s, right? You can see the appeal. Everybody had, it seemed in general, in the West, a feeling of pride in the way Israel rebuilt itself out of the Holocaust and created this amazing environment in the desert up against a strange culture, the Arabs, which we weren't familiar with, and which had actually been aligned with the Nazis in World War II, a lot of the country.
Now, at this point in time, let me slow you down a little bit here, because at this point in time, the propaganda had been running through the newspapers, through publications, through radio. Television wasn't quite around. It was being invented, but it wasn't quite marketed to the masses out there for their indoctrination purposes. But what we had was, eternally, the poor Jews were being picked on. And let me qualify when I use the term Jews. Okay, I am not anti-Semitic. There are a bunch of fine people out there of Jewish heritage that really do have the bloodline. But that's not what I'm speaking about. I'm talking about the false front or the Zionist. And that is what is in Israel. That's what was there at its start. That's what we have there right now. Now, I want to pick that up, Bob, when we come back out of the break. We'll be right back, folks. Bob Neverett, John Stadtmiller, James Martinez.
The ideology powering the Democrats and Republicans is not liberalism or conservatism, but globalism. Globalists are concerned with what's good for big business and the American empire instead of what's fair for the American people. The only antidote to the poison of globalism is nationalism. Start reading the Nationalist Times each month. The Nationalist Times promotes a common sense, intelligent, and passionate alternative to the reigning party line. Published monthly since 1985, the Nationalist Times is a 20-page newspaper featuring outstanding writers and columnists who don't believe in taboos or sacred cows. Be one of the many thousands of loyal readers of the Nationalist Times. Subscribe now to the Nationalist Times. Just $19 for 1 year. That's 50% off the regular price. Send your $19 subscription to the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. That's the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. Or subscribe online at our website, www.anu.org.
Did you ever wonder how an opera singer that hits a high note is able to shatter a wine glass? Well, the glass has a natural resonant frequency. If the resonant frequency making the glass vibrate is powerful enough, the size of the vibration will become so large the glass shatters. Using this same principle, Royal Raymond Rife discovered that disease-causing organisms can be destroyed using different resonant frequencies. The BioSolutions Frequency Instrument uses the same technology for relief or elimination of pain and disease conditions with no side effects. The 2006 BioSolutions Plus is the easiest to operate frequency instrument ever developed. Its easy reference guide will allow you to begin using the instrument within minutes. Customer satisfaction is guaranteed or your money back. Don't just treat symptoms, eliminate the cause. For more information, call BioSolutions toll-free, 1-866-885-6625. That's 1-866-885-6625. Once again, 1-866-885-6625.
The Berkeelite's unique design combines the age-old process of microporous filtration coupled with modern state-of-the-art technology and the highest quality materials, bringing you the finest water filter available anywhere. The revolutionary Berkeelite, with its exclusive black Berkey filter elements, remove pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels. Harmful or unwanted chemicals are reduced to below detectable levels. And it reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury while leaving the nutritional minerals your body needs. Made of durable Lexan, the material used in making bulletproof glass, the system is durable, rugged, and yet attractive. The Berkeelite is transparent, so there is no guesswork when refilling the system. The water level is always visible. The rechargeable LED lighting system is beautiful as a nightlight and as necessary in emergency situations. Get the Berkeelite, the transparent water filter, for only $259.
Call today, 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200. Back. Okay, Bob, let's pick this up where we left off during the break. Now it's 1948.
Yeah, well, it's into the 50s, and television becomes a global environment in North America and starting in Europe in the early 50s. So its effect, I mean, one television doesn't alter people, but when the huge population is using television, then its effects come in. Now, television is an extension of the tactile interval. It's an interplay between sight, sound, motion, and even smell. Okay, so in that interval situation, what rises up? A little place, I mean, the size of Nova Scotia or some place, that becomes this resonating image of cooperation. So there's the subliminal effect of group harmony and universal experience manifested by the Israeli experience. And what happens on the intelligence level for the Jesuits, the Freemasons, the Bolsheviks, and the Nazis, who are forced to work in the same room because it's that small of a building, the global theater, the global village. So who becomes the jockeying position in the middle as oil becomes a big deal again after World War II? It's the Mossad. And so Mossad becomes the hinge point. You know what I mean? They're in the interval.
Let me digress a second. So I want to fit this in the timeline because what we saw was the creation. Let's not skip over this too rapidly because we're following the roadmap to peace in the Middle East. And I think everybody knows and understands where that's going. But the creation of Israel, folks, you know, we're creating a war on terrorism here. We're going after bad guys that supposedly have a political agenda and really no might behind them militarily or anything else, or commingled with other people that could do real harm. Now, the traditional battlefront, you line people up, there's the bad guy, there's the good guys, depending on your point of view and which side of the fence you're standing on, and then we're going to have at each other. What Israel was created out of, these were terrorists themselves, and
okay,
have been, and
John, let me just say this to that. The Freemasons, the British Freemasons created Israel, and so the Zionists moving around Jabotinsky in the 30s and Begin had to align with the Nazis, who hadn't really solidified their power in the 30s, but they were up-and-coming potential top people. So you have the Freemason project of creating Israel in the teens, 1917 on, and then you have the use of that by the Zionist gang with the Nazis, and then the Bolsheviks come in winning sort of World War II with the Americans, and then the Vatican refuses to recognize Israel, which is the Jesuits. They're behind the ball there, right? There's the complexity by 1948-50.
But there's also a similarity, a little off topic here, but why did both of the groups wear yarmulkes? I'm a little confused on that one. At any rate, please continue.
What two groups wear yarmulkes? What do you mean both?
I'm sorry?
You said both groups wear yarmulkes? What are the two groups?
That would be people that are parading around as being Jews, but they're really not, Zionists. And then we have the Vatican crowd that are wearing kind of the yarmulkes, a little different color maybe.
Right, because there's a lot of research here in New York City by anti-Zionists, and they're Jewish, or they're the real Jews, I guess.
Are you talking about Newt Riccardi?
No, I forget his name, Leonard somebody. Anyway, Ralph Shulman is another person who's done a lot of research on this. But they show that basically the Zionists into the 50s had working with them Project Paperclip Nazi scientists who took on Jewish identities when they escaped through the rat lines. So they
Operation Paperclip, that's right, Paperclip.
Yeah, that was the Nazi scientists who came under Reiner Galen, came over to the United States, but also some of them, either officially or unofficially, went to Israel and took on Jewish identities. And so there is documentation of a real, you know, evil, dark aspect to the Zionist grouping that becomes very powerful by the late 70s.
Now, you mentioned people in New York that you said supposedly, and I guess your vote is still out, but every year, and the medias will not pick this up or portray this in any manner whatsoever. Every year, Rabbi David Yisrael Weiss is connected with Newt Riccardi, NKUSA, folks. Go up and take a look at the website. These are Torah-believing Old Testament Jews that don't seek to monopolize power. They are more than content to operate businesses and have a modicum of freedom and liberty in which to conduct and contract. They're not seeking to change anything. They're more than happy to be in this country. And you're up in New York City, so you know exactly what I'm talking about.
I've met them. They're anti-Zionists.
Yeah, absolutely. And every year, 10,000 of these guys, and you want to talk about an impressive sight, in the traditional garb, with the black and the pigtails, and I'm sure they got proper names for them, but I don't know what they are. But at any rate, 10,000 of them show up every year in New York City, all of them with signs very carefully thought out and printed out and everything, and not one picture, not one word ever reaches anybody in this country decrying the fact that these people are saying, hey, look, by our beliefs and our systems, Israel should not be there. There is only one that can call for the association in a land, and that's God himself, and they're still waiting for their Redeemer. Now the Christians, they already have theirs, Jesus Christ, but the Jews are still waiting for him. But the point of it is, aside from the religious differences here, the point of it is that they're saying that the state of Israel, by their law, should not be in existence until they're called together. Is everybody hearing this? So what in the hell, and I'll use that term, is Israel?
It's television, which I want to explain after the break.
All right, real good. Bob Neverett, James Martinez, John Stadtmiller, this Tuesday edition of Cash Flow. We're going down the rabbit hole with you, folks. Are you listening?
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, for nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places." People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes four books and several DVDs. It discusses America and Prophecy, the Antichrist, Tyrants and Wars, Secret Societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials. Packet F, 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715. Or mail P.O. Box 771, Athens, Tennessee, 37371.
Come on, Bill. 2 weeks ago, you were riding a bicycle.
For some time now, you've listened to our corny DidYouRobBillGates.com ads. So let's get serious for a moment. DidYouRobBillGates.com can really show you how to make money with your own home-based business and will give you the ability to quit your job, pay off debt, or how about buying some silver and gold for the future or retirement? What about just being around more for your family? DidYouRobBillGates.com can show you how to increase your cash flow so you can get the things in life you want. What if all it took was answering the phone? Could you do that? When the cash flow increases, it's amazing what you can do. It's about independence and freedom. DidYouRobBillGates.com can show you how. Don't wait any longer. Go to DidYouRobBillGates.com. That's DidYouRobBillGates.com.
Hey everybody, this is James Martinez from the Cash Flow Show. I want to ask you one question and one question only. You're ready to change your life. Now, as you begin to think about that question, how many of you are swimming in credit card debt, tired of credit cards controlling your life, behind on your payments, struggling to make ends meet, all that, worried about your financial well-being? You're going to end that now. Enough is enough. This is hot. Are you ready to feel good now? That's right. Call our toll-free number and listen to our 12-minute overview. It explains who we are and what we do to end your credit card debt. Leave your name and number after the message and do it today. Call 888-213-7655. That's 888-213-7655. Freedom is a phone call away. Away. Away for you to feel good now. 888-213-7655. 888-213-7655.
All right, we're back. Bob Neppert is with us today on this Tuesday instead of Wednesday because of logistical and, well, what the heck, you're here today. All right, let's pick it up with television.
Yeah, so I'm saying that television caused a problem for the Jesuits, the Freemasons, the Bolsheviks, the Nazis, and not so much at the first phase for the Mossad, because the Mossad could be the interval new upstart agency that everybody, the other four factions, had to jockey around, because the Middle East was looming as a big problem. And even as a picture of the planet, the Middle East is the interval place between the East and the West. So the Middle East is an interval geographically, and television is the interval medium, the tactile medium, the in-between. Once you brought in the digital or the computer world of the 60s and 70s, it scattered all of them. And then everybody retrenched, and you had the return of fundamentalisms on all levels of the agencies, on the Jesuits, the Freemasons, the Bolsheviks, the Nazis, and the Mossad.
Now, when you Bob, could you talk about the scattering effects? Like, when that technology was implemented and started, what were the scattering effects, and how much chaos did it cause?
The scattering effects were that since the public, through Nielsen ratings, audience research, focus groups, the ratings became the ruler, became the controller. In other words, hidden secrets in post-Watergate era, the secrets of power were obsolete. Nobody cared about those bureaucratic intrigues. So the intelligence agencies, remember, the CIA was dismantled in 75, 76 after Watergate. So there was a big change in the KGB.
Wait a minute. It was?
Yes. Remember when Team A and Team B, the division caused by, what was it, Admiral Stansfield was his name, came in with Carter? Anyway, that's a whole history that the CIA, many people were fired. And then,
dismantled doesn't mean dismembered. You're talking about there was a reorganization of the agency at that point?
And decentralized and split. It became a problem. The older people that were laid off, they reorganized in retirement unions, and they were called Team A. And George Bush and them came in as Team B, and they set up the Reagan administration.
Okay.
And so they had this battle between the old liberals, the Cold War left, and then the new 80s Reaganites, new conservatives. And so it was a divided agency. The point is the harmony of the 50s and 60s was no longer there within the bureaucracies in the different countries and powers and within the secret elites, the level I dealt with. And what the reason was is that the information environment had sped up, that what was on the news controlled everybody. And so information in terms of secret control was obsolete. And the other part of the scattering thing is that when you have a tactile environment, which really comes in with the digital technology, no definitions have any staying power. So I would jump to now to say, applying that principle, we aren't going to have a depression, we're not going to have a recession, we're not going to have an abundance, we're going to be in between in a nowhere land juggling the four bodies, the chip body, the TV body, the chemical body, and the astral body. And every one of them gets affected in a negative way in this collision.
All right, Bob.
So that would be the depression, the bouncing or the juggling of all those effects. That is
right.
Depression.
Right. It's not an economic depression. It is another. It's a psychological. It's a sociological. And it's even for information societies like intelligence agencies a depression. But we can't. But we have endless information being pumped out day in and day out.
Right.
But it doesn't have any sticking power. That, in other words, the whole concept of intelligence and anticipating what was happening, which is what I was involved in, became obsolete. Not just you, John, are obsolete. The whole gang of us are obsolete.
I just love hearing Bob saying, you're a doppelganger. You're
an after image.
There you go. Okay. I am just an image of former selves. You know,
that's right.
School.
Now, John, I'll push it further. I'll say that it's not an advantage to invest in gold. If you've made many people millionaires, but we aren't even millionaires today because we're so involved with juggling these bodies that if we try to have a place to hide or to raise a family or to do whatever with our wealth, it doesn't work. So actually having a lot of money in your bank account, as the economy is finding out right now, the Enron effect, is not actually the wealth we're in. And you can be on welfare and absorbing all this computers and information and think that you're wealthy, and you actually are wealthy, and you don't have the harassment of being a wealthy bureaucrat who has to manage a corporation. Because the real wealth today is whether you have time or not.
And my real motivations and reasoning, and you can understand this being in the intelligence community, is I wanted those that had the wherewithal to survive this to then be, how should I say, on the right side? Now, there's a lot of consternation going on as to what the right side of the fence is and what the other
right,
side.
Right, there's the tactile point. You can't define where you're at.
Yeah.
So we're actually in a new situation where we confront each other through these media, but also in person. And we don't have any identifiable markings of where we come from, where we're going, and who we are. Which means
I want to interject, Bob, right now, because I don't want to forget this, because I thought of both of you when I was driving through the Bel Air neighborhood yesterday. Children have just come out of school. I saw two little girls, probably maybe sixth grade, walking down the street, stopped. Both of them pulled out cell phones. They're young little girls. They're having a conversation with each other while they're texting each other right in front of each other. And I looked at that, and I'm like, this is the future of humans. And this is a complete change in which how we interact. It's going to change the way information flows. Everything. I saw that, and it really stuck inside of me. I mean, what is that going to do in terms of people's opinions culturally and how we interchange information and disinformation as well and all the issues having to do with election and all that?
Well, yeah, okay, but let me throw something in here that, you know, look what happened with the internet. It was created. I mean, back in the 90s, folks, we're talking about a brand new medium that has only been around 10, 15 years. But it's been created. But look what we've been able to do with the internet.
Right.
Now,
it's a plus.
It's a plus. Okay, let's start thinking in terms, okay, of these texting little sixth graders, these little pubescent beauties out there right in front of each other rather than talking to the corporal body. They're talking through the cyber body. But it's
a
medium.
Completely.
It has been a medium that's been created. How can we take advantage of it? It's already there. We're not going to make it go away. How can we affect that?
I don't think we can, other than I'm going to push it. I came on the show today. Since it's Tuesday, I'm a different person on Tuesday than I am on Wednesday.
I don't want to look at your hat rack and how many hats you wear.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. But I want to say that we know about the biblical prophecy of the mark of the beast. Mm-hmm. And we know about the time of the tribulation and many of the prophecies that some factions of Christianity emphasize.
And in which, all of which has been co-opted for political and economic purposes, but let's continue.
Right, because when something's obsolete, it becomes widespread. It is not molding us. Everybody can find it a cliche and easy thing to do, and so when television was available in people's houses in different rooms in the 70s, that meant it was obsolete. And what was sneaking up on them? The digital computer world. Mm-hmm. They didn't notice it. So when we look around and the proliferation and awareness of the biblical prophecies, that means they're obsolete. I'll go so far to say that the second coming has already happened, that the Nazarene, the Christ, is here today communicating. And I don't mean in terms of the Christian level that he's always here. I'm saying technologically, the second coming has arrived, so that the prophecies of the tribulation before he comes back have already happened. And we've gone past that point. And so I come back to my point, when we meet each other, we have no cultural markers to say who we are. We're in a very spiritual situation. We each have to look at each other as a stranger, and you have to tune in. You have to be intuitive, figure out what your relationship with that person is. That's a new situation. Nobody ever had that before. They always had the stigma of their tribe, their costume, their class.
Yeah, and it was recognizable, and you knew what to expect. Not necessarily who you were dealing with, but You had this idea of what to expect. There wasn't any surprises.
That's right. And we've had the nuclear holocaust. We had it in 1945. Two bombs dropped. Do we have to have a million bombs dropped to say that it hasn't happened yet? Now you see what James is talking about, kids going around with the chip bodies shrinking and going inside them. They're becoming Terminators and cyborgs. I don't know. Does the Bible talk about that? It talks about the chip in the wrist,
yes,
or the head, the mark of the beast.
The mark of the beast.
Well,
yes.
I bring that up because there's been communication out here and dealing with anybody out here. I've joked with John on the air. I'm like, well, I'll talk to you later. Just email me and fax me, and I'll turn on my pager, and you text me back. And if you call me back, check my voicemail. Everything. There's no like actual contact. And by the time it takes to get one message to somebody, it's got to be filtered through three different areas because somebody in the may not be on their computer, they may not be on their BlackBerry, they may not be on the phone. So there's this chaos that started between how people communicate out here, and I know its effects on how people get information and how it's transmitted and what's real and what's not.
And
it's a whole different nightmare out here now.
And it's finally happened, John, let me just say this, it's finally happened in the banking world. The old medium of credit and money has collapsed, and they're confused and they can't talk to each other anymore.
Okay, let's hold on here a second, because you've heard the old saying that there's no accidents in politics. I don't believe there's an accident in what's going on worldwide here as far as the money systems go. Now, let's remember something, that the North American Union was slated to be in place in this country in 2010. That's only a year and a half and a couple of months away. And I do not think what's going on in the banking industry. I mean, think about this, Bob. The common person walks into the bank. They're grilled by the financial services guy or maybe the branch manager or, you know, his hirelings, whatever. You had to meet a certain criteria to make a loan for a car, for a house, personal loans, whatever it was. You had to go through steps. They had to check your veracity, your identity, all these things. You cannot tell me that this was just an accident, that all of a sudden these bankers decided to start loaning money to people that, well, didn't have any money. They didn't have any credit histories. They didn't have down payments. They didn't have squat. And I am looking into this. As I said, there are no accidents that go on unchecked.
Well, John, I agree that those agendas are there and been planned for decades, but nobody anticipated the effects of the new media and new environments on top of that. So, yes, we could look at this situation right now. It's been totally set up to bring in a whole new kind of dictatorship or Mark of the Beast situation.
It's not a dictatorship as far as they're concerned. I'm looking at this through their eyes. This is just an organizational process that has to take place for the survival of mankind. See,
bring in the North American Union. It won't work because too many other factors, the people juggling the bodies, is going to interfere with any bureaucratic, illuminist agenda.
That's the good news. Bob, let me slow you down here a little bit. their victory is almost at hand. For gosh sakes, they're building the super slab, the internationalist super slab called the Trans-Texas Corridor. They are winning.
Well, what are they winning? They'll build a new structure that'll be puny because it'll be bureaucratic and for chemical bodies, while everybody is more involved in the TV and the chip body.
Okay, but all right.
So wait a minute. So you're saying it is going to go through, but that their plans and execution of it and their brilliance and they think they're going to be able to pull it off is not going to be what they think. It's not going to be pulled off as best as they portray or we believe.
That's our advantage. That's our prayer. Okay. That it is, the effects are not going to be what is managed. And that's why I say the second coming is here and Michael is beating Lucifer. If you can see it. We need an act of perception to see our Savior, to see ourselves in this situation. We don't have to do anything, but we need to perceive it accurately.
Okay, let me back up here a little bit. You're talking about a realm which most of the communications are controlled. And it has been, hold on, Bob, it has been my precept and my conceptual idea here that, yeah, we can slow down the formation of the world order. We may not be able to stop it entirely. Their trick, anybody can start anything, folks. You can start a radio network. You can start a business. You can do a lot of things. Starting it is not the key. Keeping it going is the key. Now, we have a situation here where I have been trying to recruit people in the information game, okay? And most people, God love them, they make the mistake of going to their family first, which knocks a lot of them out of the box because they're looked on as being the pariah of the family or the redheaded stepchild that you got to throw in a closet and not beat too much.
Yeah, they think their chemical body is the be-all and end-all, and they get thrown by it.
But the point of it is that I do not agree with you that nothing has to be done. There is a lot to be done.
Well, I'm saying the act of perception is what has to be done. The training of perception of what we're
internally,
talking about.
Internally, you're talking about.
And then expressing it collectively, because, first of all, you have to, in the intelligence age, what we understand is, if it's in English, it's wrong. And that's the global language, the ruling dominant medium. In other words, if someone's talking to you, they haven't even got into the 20th century. Think about that. That language, verbal language, is totally obsolete by the 1930s. That's what Newspeak and the Orwell scenario was, is that language was not what it meant anymore.
Or the words that were used in the language because the meanings have been distorted.
So because it was not a major medium, it didn't mold people, so you could lie with it. And people would accept it because it wasn't really forming them. What was forming them was radio and the coming TV environment. So the thing is if we're talking English, and even talking, we're not dealing with the perceptual exercise we need to go through. Now, how do I communicate this on a radio show, which needs language, right? So I know that I'm always going to be 90% not understood because of the medium I'm using. But if I replay it enough, maybe people can see how to look at it. Oh. Like, can you visualize the Internet? Can you visualize it? You can't see it.
I just had a flashback out of a scene out of one of the Matrix movies. Yeah, I can see it. It's ones and zeros, and it flows, and it's green. Anyhow.
That's not even that. Ones and zeros is what it looks like, but it is more than one sense. What is the auditory? What is the proprioceptive effect on your body? The effects of the medium are what it is, not just what it looks like.
Boy, I think I have that one down, Pat, because, you know, rather than going rather than going into television, I like the medium of radio. My number one invention of all times has been the telephone, which puts people in touch with each other without visual distraction. You got the audio. You could do it instantaneously, exchange ideas right there on the spot. You throw television in there, and I call that radio that's got pictures. But the language that's used without the distraction of the visuals that prompts people to use their brains, okay, the one sensory organ that you're only using here, unless you like to stare at your radio dial, is your ears. That's a direct connection into their brain. Using the language that they identify with and terms that they identify with, I am going into that medium big time because I know that it's a medium that has been shunted aside. But in an environment where people are frustrated, scared, they're looking for answers, they realize they haven't gotten it anyplace else, ta-da, guess where we're at.
Okay, I'll respond to that after this.
All right. You better be kind, too.
Yes, I will.
Don't screw with my visions here, Bob. All right.
Your
visions? My visions. We'll be right back.
The Berkelite's unique design combines the age-old process of microporous filtration coupled with modern state-of-the-art technology and the highest quality materials, bringing you the finest water filter available anywhere. The revolutionary Berkelite, with its exclusive black Berkey filter elements, remove pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels. Harmful or unwanted chemicals are reduced to below detectable levels. And it reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury while leaving the nutritional minerals your body needs. Made of durable Lexan, the material used in making bulletproof glass, the system is durable, rugged, and yet attractive. The Berkelite is transparent, so there is no guesswork when refilling the system. The water level is always visible. The rechargeable LED lighting system is beautiful as a nightlight and as necessary in emergency situations. Get the Berkelite, the transparent water filter, for only $259.
Call today, 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200. 9200.
Are you new to freeze-drying foods? These fine, easily storable foods were first developed for the U.S. space program. Today, the U.S. military and the U.S. submarine service enjoy using these products extensively. Freeze-dried foods typically maintain their high nutritional value in excess of 30 years. Why store emergency food? Keeping food on hand for emergencies protects you the same way as does insurance on your home or car. With Freeze Dry Guy freeze-dried foods in your food reserve, you can be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. In today's turbulent times of uncertainty, global crisis, world market collapse, stock market volatility, increased frequency of natural and man-made disasters, there has never been a better time to get a survival insurance policy. Take the necessary steps to protect your family in these uncertain times. Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD, 866-404-3663. We pay the freight within the lower 48 states.
You know what that song is? You've heard it before. It's called Rally Round the Flag. Kind of makes you feel good, doesn't it? Like you're proud to be an American. That's what Ron Paul is, a great American, and he needs you to rally round with your own Ron Paul flag. Ron Paul flags can be mounted on your home or RV, as a banner, or flown beneath the American flag, or by themselves. You decide. Just fly your Ron Paul flag proudly after you order one, two, or more from RonPaulFlags.com. Choose the Ron Paul Revolution flag for just over $43 or the Ron Paul 08 flag for the same price. Order two or more for a $6 discount. Go to RonPaulFlags.com and see what these great flags look like. That's RonPaulFlags.com. Put your state on the map as a Ron Paul state. Visit RonPaulFlags.com. Today.
We're back here. Notice, James, how yes. I ratcheted this down into today's terms.
Say again?
Never mind. Go ahead, Bob.
He ratcheted it down into today's terms, James.
Yes.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Wait, but also, I want you to address where John left off, but I also want you to address, what do you mean English is Not a language. What do you mean by that? I kind of know what you mean, but I think, yeah, I know, but
wait a minute,
English has limitations.
He was getting ready to make a comment on my vision.
Yeah, go over the vision first.
Yeah. Now, here's John saying that he's a normal man, and he's citing the eye,
careful,
his vision.
Careful there.
Okay, speech is originally tactile. When chemical bodies interact, you're looking at eye contact, body language, smell, all kinds of things. It's a multi-sensuous medium originally for primitive people and us whenever we're talking. So, when you talk about orality, John, you're really talking about you're a tactile person. Now, you only went to grade 9, so I suppose that your literacy development was not intensified to make you an eye-biased person. You kept your natural youthful orality, okay? But it actually was tactile because you were conditioned by television. You move into radio, which is not really a separate medium anymore. It's involved with all kinds of other media. It's not the radio environment of the 30s and 40s.
It will be again, though, but go ahead.
Well, we call that virtual radio. And so that when you say you like to talk and use a telephone, you're using your virtual mouth, mm-hmm. your chip body mouth.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing is that you say you're oral and like the telephone, but actually you're tactile. So English is really not only what you're communicating. You're communicating a tactile sense of involvement around icons of depression, recession, Khazars, conspiracy, Illuminati, gold, collapse of the country, patriotism. All these icons make up your radio profile, what you are. And you juggle them, and that's a tactile action to juggle the situation, just like the Zionists juggled the Jesuits, the Freemasons, the Bolsheviks, and the Nazis.
And you haven't yet seen my juggling act until you catch my tap dance act simultaneously.
Tap dancing is the foot. That's tactile. That's the other part of the tactility body.
I always say that I'm dancing as fast as I can.
That's tactility. So you're a tactile person, and the concentration on definitions and visions and oral bias is a handicap. It's what people can feel comfortable in, but I'm trying to point out that the thing we're trying to describe, the elephant we're trying to describe, is not one particular sense. It's the interplay of the senses and then the extensions of those.
No, I understand that. And Bob, one of these days we'll have to sit down privately and talk about my visions and my goals. Because I know exactly what the hell I'm doing, and I know it'll work.
Well, I'm glad to be on board then if it's going to work.
Oh, well, you wouldn't be here if I didn't. Look, I wouldn't utter a word behind one of these microphones if I didn't have a vision, I didn't have a plan, and I knew that whatever I was moving towards wasn't going to work.
Right, but let's say that it's a vision. Now, the eye has been removed in this tactile acoustic environment. So we need to revitalize the eye and the vision, but let's make it comprehensive.
We will do exactly that. Gentlemen,
alrighty.
James, I liked what you said earlier, and this is you've said this many times, and I hope people are listening. Ladies and gentlemen, you have got to train. You've got to change and train your mind for a different point of reference. You've got to step out of that box that's been created for you. Look at this with brand new eyes. Bob Neverett, I appreciate you coming up. And I'll tell you what, I'm going to call you, and I'm going to get you on the National Intel Report, because now I've got something that I can carry over to that different point of view on the same medium.
Okay.
Right on.
All right. James Martinez, Bob Neverett, John Stadtmiller signing off for this Tuesday. We'll be back with you again tomorrow, and probably we'll have Bob next Wednesday.
Thank you.
Gentlemen, thank
all right,
you very much. And
have
listeners,
a great day.
Thanks for joining us today. I hope you're getting the message. We're going to keep repeating it.